may not be suitable for some. Listener discretion advised.
All right now, boys and girls, we want to introduce...
Please allow me to adjust my pants. Woo, woo, woo. Listen to me.
Run as fast as you can.
I'm gonna give you what you need.
Get ready for BAM Radio.
Let me do it one more time. It's Radio BAM. Fucking idiot.
What the hell am I talking about?
It's Radio BAM.
And now. Here's BAM.
Here's BAM.
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah, Radio BAM, Serious 41 Faction. I'm here with Chad Eigenberg, CKY, and Mickey from Ween, and we are in New Hope at his studio.
X-Ween, the other guy quit.
And you're also in Voice Boys.
You're in a lot of bands,
aren't you?
One and a half bands, yeah.
And I think I've heard the greatest rock and roll story of all time tonight at John and Peter's, and... So Mickey was, it's about Sean P. Diddy, Puffy Diddy Combs, and it's about the Godzilla, me? Yeah, I have. He was cool, but it was one of his parties, and they were bragging about, like, yo, P. Diddy has the best parties ever, like, come check it out, like, he throws the best parties ever. Well, the first thing I do is I go in. It's so packed with people that I step on this dude's Nike, and it was a brand new Nike, and he was too fond of that. Yo, motherfucker, you just stepped on my Nike. Well, look how crowded it is, man. Like, what do you want me to do? Then I order a Heineken, and it was $30 for one Heineken. I'm like, greatest party ever? I want to get the fuck out of here and go to a dive bar. Why are they not free? Well, I guess they were claiming that they were, but... When I ordered, and then my buddy ordered a bottle of champagne like an idiot. He ordered Cristal. What happened with this Godzilla P. Diddy story?
All right. I'm going to make this as concise as possible. I have a buddy who has to be nameless, but he worked on the session for the Godzilla movie, which is, it was P. Diddy with Jimmy Page playing Cashmere by Led Zeppelin.
Which and basically goes, Jen-in-it. Da-na-na,
and he da-na-na. Goes, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Everybody knows that track, yeah.
Yeah, it's Diddy gets to the studio with his entourage, and it's J-Lo and his entire posse, and all these people show up, and they have Jimmy Page online in London, and they can hear him over the speakers, and he's like, you know, Sean, are you there? Yeah, Jimmy, you're there, yeah. And he's like, yo, who is this guy? I want to see this motherfucker, you know? I want to see this cat. And they're like, well... You know, that isn't how we roll. Meanwhile, while all this is going on, the Olympics are going on. So all his assistants start scrambling and trying to figure out how to get a live video feed so he can actually watch Jimmy Page.
And at this time, there is no Skype. There is no online nonsense. There is nothing of that.
No,
so.
No, nothing like that.
No streaming whatsoever.
So everybody's running around trying to figure out how to make this happen, and they cancel the session so they can get a live video feed of Jimmy Page playing along with Diddy. The fucking Olympics are going on at the time, so they have to buy satellite time off NBC or CBS or one of these networks. What ends up happening is all of the Midwest gets blacked out for 8 hours on the Olympics from like 3 to 9 p.m. so they can buy the satellite time so Diddy can see Jimmy Page while he's playing. So everybody gets back together like 5 days later, and Diddy walks in, and there's this massive, massive video screen with Jimmy Page sitting there with his Les Paul ready to go.
You hear that?
And he's like, wow, man.
First of all,
who set up all this shit?
The whole Midwest of America cannot see the Olympics because this is happening. Because P. Diddy wanted to see Jimmy Page's fucking face when they're recording.
And then they tell him, it's like, well, you know, we had to get all the satellite shit going. No one can watch the Olympics. And he says, no, I just want to see the motherfucker. I want to see his picture. Who is this cat?
That's all he meant. I want to see this motherfucker's picture before I start working on him. I just want to see what his face looks like. I just want to see.
Jimmy Page.
He didn't mean. He didn't mean I want to look at his face while he's recording. And they did that. They bought a fucking satellite, which had to cancel out middle of America. Indiana's canceled. Ohio's canceled. All this shit is canceled. They cannot watch the Olympics because of this. They spent 2.5 Yeah, and they spent $2.5 million on making sure that P. Diddy could see Jimmy Page play as they're recording in the studio when all he wanted was a photo of the guy.
That's when shit went down the tube, dude. That's when America started to blow, I think.
Good, Bam.
Right?
Carrying me.
Is what I want to know is how is there not some motherfucker near P. Diddy to be like, you fucking asshole idiot. Why didn't you just say that? You just costed up $2.2 million to do this. When, like, you know, everybody around him is probably like, oh, it's all good, dog. Nope, no problem, dog. It's all good, dog.
Bam, you're friends with, Bam's friends with, like, Lil Wayne and shit. Like, Lil Wayne's a fan of Bam.
You know what? I never really listened to Lil Wayne, but I was reading, like, a Rolling Stone interview, and it said, if you could meet anybody in the world, who would it be? And he goes, probably that nigga Bam from Pennsylvania, because he looks like he don't give a fuck. After that, I bought all Lil Wayne's albums, and then I met him in Scranton at one of his shows, and then I gave him one of my skateboards. 3 days later, he busts his head open on a half pipe, and he has 9 staples in his head. I'm like, don't tell me because I got that skateboard. He's like, fuck that shit. That's street creds, dog. Hell yeah. I'm like, fuck it.
Oh, shit.
So he's not like P. Diddy? He's cooler than P. Diddy?
No, he's cool as shit. Like, he's friends with all skaters. Like, he's super into skating, and that's rad, you know? Like, I mean, I only met P. Diddy once, but I mean, like, when I met, I met Snoop Dogg.
Really?
Okay. So, Nikki used to, she grew up in San Francisco in a little town called Petaluma, and we went to go visit her mom recently, and across the street I can see a sign that says Snoop Dogg tonight, whatever. So I'm like, fuck, let me call Lil Wayne and I'll get us in. So I get me plus, so I get me plus five into Snoop Dogg. The lady gives us VIP, everything. We meet him at the end. We get on the tour bus. So, I don't really smoke weed too much, but, like, when Snoop Dogg passes... Yeah, like, I don't smoke weed, really, unless I'm gonna, like, watch a movie with my friends and I'm gonna go to bed. Then maybe I'll take a puff, but Snoop Dogg hands you a joint, you can't be like, nah, I'm cool.
It's like Willie Nelson.
If Willie Nelson hands you a joint, you have to be like, oh, cool, man, cool, thanks. So, I take one fucking puff of whatever it was, and I am bonkers. Like, I am history.
Right.
Like, and he must have took, like, 20 puffs. You know what I mean? I took one puff. I don't even know what... I couldn't even go left. I didn't even know how to go left. You know what I mean? And I'm on his tour bus. He's like, you all right, dog? I'm like, you know what? Can you just stop the bus? I just need to get out and...
walk.
And walk and think. I went into the bushes and was crying. Dude, I was like, why does anybody, why would fucking Snoop Dogg want to smoke? If I took one puff of that weed and I felt like that, I mean, maybe I guess you shouldn't mix drinking and weed together, but like, dude, like.
Gotta smoke first.
He was like, he was fine. I take one puff and I'm just like.
Was it after the show?
I felt like I was on fucking Mars, dude.
Oh, yeah. Was it after the show?
Yeah, and I tell Chad about it. He's like, "That must have been some good shit."
I'm jealous.
I don't freak out
after smoking Snoop's weed.
I don't want any of that weed ever again.
Mickey, you got any stories like that? You tried to hang out and party with somebody who like you respected and thought like.
Yeah, we were mixing our record White Pepper at Green Street Studios in Soho in New York. And Big Daddy Kane was mixing his record in the other suite at the same time. So every fucking single day I had to go from my little
efficiency
apartment. No, he was making his record in the other studio.
What's he famous for, Big Daddy Kane?
Big Daddy Kane?
Like
I don't know. Some rap music. No, you're thinking of Sir Mix-a-Lot or something. So every day it's basically him and his producer, but for some reason there's like 50, 60 guys with him, you know. His entire posse is in there. And they're rolling these like chocolate, strawberry, blueberry fucking blunts every day, you know?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And we're white boys from Pennsylvania, you know, out in the sticks.
It's fucking the walnut, maple nut crunch fucking weed.
Yeah. Exactly.
We're all having toilet paper.
Maple nut crunch, honey flavor.
But the only two things we have in common are basketball and weed. So I'm a Sixers fan, and those guys are Knicks fans. And one night the Sixers and Knicks are playing each other, and it's on MSG Network in the lounge. So I'm sitting there with him, and I'm watching him twist up this strawberry, blueberry, almond crunch, fucking butternut
crunch.
Fucking butternut butterfinger joint of some shit that I have no idea what the fuck is in it. I start smoking that, and I have a total fucking paranoid meltdown.
I love these stories.
And they're going to what's called fucking cluck you chicken. Every night they get buckets of cluck you chicken in there, and it's like hot wings and whatever, and everyone's got to kick in. So I'm sitting there, and I'm fucking stoned, and it shows up, and the fucking white boy from Pennsylvania owes $60 of a $62 tab on the cluck you chicken. I'm so high I can't even fucking debate this thing, and I spent the entire time in the bathroom stall at Green Street Studios for like 6 hours freaking out. That's my story.
Do you know
Big Daddy Kane?
Wait, one time were you really,
big props.
CKY.
You played with Yoko Ono, right?
Yeah, I did.
Like, you're talking about Big Daddy Kane. You played with, like, Yoko Ono and, like, everybody.
I don't have as good of stories about Yoko Ono as I do Big Daddy Kane.
How about this one? CKY was at Electric Lady Studios in New York, and Wu-Tang... Well, it was somewhere in New York, and Wu-Tang Clan...
Sony.
One of the dudes... Yeah, Sony Studios. And one of the dudes from Wu-Tang Clan showed up, and he was fucked up on PCP, like, bonkers. And they had this $1,000 microphone in there, and he's in the booth, and they play the beat, and he's getting ready, and you could see him. He thinks the walls are closing in on him as he's singing, so they played it for us, and for one full minute, he's saying, yeah. So it's like, boom, boom, ch, boom, 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 ch, yeah, 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 I got my weed smoke, I got my papers, I'm fucking around with all these, oh, shit, oh, fuck, and then he just breaks the microphone.
Smash the whole fucking iPhone.
Because he thinks the walls are closing in on him, because he's so fucked up on PCP.
Timberland used to order fucking Roscoe's chicken and waffles when we were there.
Speaking of Timberland, he's in the studio next to CKY, and he walks past and hears CKY playing. He's like, damn, that sounds fucking tight. That sounds fucking tight.
How you make that guitar?
And he goes, Chad just goes, well, I put the microphone up to the amplifier, and then I play it, and then the mic picks it up, and it goes into the computer. Damn, you could do that? I just use a Triton. It's like, Triton. You're a millionaire from producing records, and you don't know that you could put a mic to an amplifier? That's how it's been done since the 50s and 60s and 70s and 20s.
After he just got done showing me his new purple custom-colored fucking Ferrari that he had.
I got a good. You can do that? I just use a Triton.
I have a good story for you. We got picked one year for some reason to do the Yahoo Music Internet Awards. You know, this is like 1997, where not everybody had the internet yet, and they're giving out these bullshit awards to, I think we presented the award to Sarah McLachlan, which is just like
the worst commercial shit
in the world. But the live music that night was Prince, Public Enemy, I can't remember who else actually, other than that.
It was
the only good shit. Actually, Bowie, too. And they gave the Lifetime Achievement Award for the Internet to Pete Townsend, who I fucking hate. I can't stand The Who.
He looks exactly like
Brandon Novak. I hate all
of
The Who's shit. And it's 1997, so how do you give a Lifetime Achievement Award on the Internet in 1997, you know? So Prince...
Nobody died back then.
So fucking Prince plays, and it's the greatest thing in the world. I mean, we're massive Prince fans, and we're watching this thing. And then after Prince finishes, they're like somebody comes down the aisle with a flashlight. Like, you guys got to get ready to present your award. But first, you're on after Chuck D. So Chuck D comes up from Public Enemy, and he reads this dissertation called "If You Don't Own the Master Owns You." You know, it's like total white devil shit. And then he finishes this thing about you know, fucking white devils trying to control the black man, and they're like, ladies and gentlemen, Gene and Dean Ween. Oh. And we walk up there in our fucking Men's Warehouse suits, like dumbasses that we just bought, don't fit, looking totally stupid. And we present an award to Sarah McLachlan, whose live video feed comes on. I never felt more white in my entire life. It's like, all right, yeah.
Yeah, Wayne was like the punkest shit like in the 90s, man. Everything was not like that. They did. You guys were on Conan. That was awesome.
Let's play a Ween song right
good
now.
Old days. All right.
Or a Moist Boy song.
What do you want to play?
Let's play Ween first. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Ween.
Which one?
I don't.
Think of it. Your favorite one.
Spinal meningitis.
Let's
got
do
me
it.
Down.
Yeah.
Radio Bam, Series 41 Faction.
Mommy, am I gonna die? It really hurts.
now back to Radio Bam Thing Faction.
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah, Radio Bam Series 41 Faction. I'm here with Chad Eigenberg of CKY and Mickey from Ween, and we are in New Hope at his studio. Can we get another brew here? What'd you get for Christmas?
I got I asked for a real set of speakers like this because I've been listening to music on fucking little tiny earbuds and, you know, fucking computer monitors like 3 inches high for years. It's starting to really piss me off. So I asked for a real set of speakers, and my father was generous enough to buy me about like a $70 set of speakers.
Yeah. 2 years ago, my mom got me a 1929 Mercedes, and then the next year she got me a DeLorean, like the fucking Back to the Future car. I'm like, Jeez. Ape, I don't want anything this year. Just fucking please don't.
We're so in a different world, dude.
She gets me $1 million. Like $1 million shredded up from like the Franklin Mint or some shit.
I also got an RC helicopter, which I saw at the CVS the other day when I went to get Tamiflu. Oh. That's what my folks got me.
Tamiflu? They got you Tamiflu.
No. They got me an RC helicopter, which was right next to the pain relievers at CVS. It was a really thoughtful gift. A lot of love went into that one. Yeah.
I saw that at CVS, Mom.
I tried to fly it here, and it busted on the first time. So.
That's a last-minute gift, CVS.
I think the best gifts that I get are like paintings or something that I know that somebody took a lot of time on to give.
Oh, that's
sensitive. Man. Like a gift certificate really nice. To Wawa for $100 is awesome and shit. But like, if you gave me like some painting that it looked like it took you 2 to 3 days on,
I want someone to pay my fucking Comcast bill for Christmas.
This girl Christine from Michigan, she sends every Christmas and birthday. She'll send me $100, Shipbird $100, Novak $100, my brother $100, Chad $100, like
50.
Oh yeah, and then it turns into 50 after that. Then he gets 50. Mark Hanna gets 50.
Every year, my mother-in-law gets me a carton of Marlboros and a case of Beck's, and it's the only thing I can count on every year that I'm going to get fucking mileage out of.
Carton of Marlboros is one of the best things to get.
That's fucking 70, 80 bucks right there.
In Australia, one pack of cigarettes is $20. You go to St. Martin in the Virgin Islands around there, it's $20 for a carton. Same thing. What the fuck's going on with that?
We call those Schlegers. Do you guys know about the Schleger?
No, what's that?
Schleger is a term that's invented by, I think it originated with Dave Grohl. It's the first time I ever heard it. There's like duty-free cigarettes. But instead of the tobacco coming from the Carolinas or down south, it comes from like fucking
Azerbaijan.
Yeah, it comes from fucking Qatar or
something. Kazakhstan.
Yeah, exactly. And it's called the Schleger. You smoke it, and it's like sucking on a fucking exhaust pipe in your garage. Those are Schlegers. There ain't no tax stamp on it, and it doesn't look quite right. Like the Marlboro Red isn't red.
Buying Marlboros from China is like the gnarliest cigarettes ever.
Going to Canada and smoking Players.
Yes, I know. Shipbird ordered those.
USA's.
Schleger. That's the term.
I've Schleggers. Been smoking electric cigarettes. It's electric. And I've been smoking electrics and trying to quit cigarettes.
You're a quitter. Steven Dorff tell you to do that?
I am a quitter at cigarettes. I'm trying. I haven't done it yet. But honestly, dude, have you ever tried an electric cigarette? I only tried, not even to quit cigarettes, only because I was thinking I need to smoke on this flight because it's 16 hours. So I got an electric cigarette.
I don't think you could do that on
flight. Oh, I've done it, dude.
I just eat my cigarettes.
I think they still complain.
You eat them?
Yeah, I eat them.
Well, there's
I just made that up, actually. I don't eat them.
Nicorette gum.
That'd be cool.
Gum? Have you ever tried Nicorette gum and shit on flights?
Well, I mean, you can't smoke on it.
Rectally.
But you can smoke an electric cigarette.
If you did an e-cigarette on a flight, I think that they'll complain. I've seen it done.
I've seen me smoke them.
The i-cigarette you guys have to try.
Thursday.
Made in California.
Maybe if the person next to you complains, then you have to put it out.
Why put it out? It's out.
I know it's out.
It's not. It looks like
just the fact that it looks like you're smoking
it
on a cigarette,
smell like
and
smoke.
Then I know that, but they just don't like the fact that they see some dude with a nose ring
and
fucking leather jacket on, drinking a Jack on a fucking rocks, smoking on a cigarette.
What
they
should
don't
I wear to smoke an e-cigarette. A fucking sweater.
A suit.
Turtleneck. I'll wear a turtleneck and smoke an e-cigarette. That's the problem.
That is.
This is the future, man.
Take your nose ring out.
We gotta smoke e-cigarettes. What about an e-cigarette store? It's gonna be popular, dude. Philip Morris is buying that shit. It's fucking great. Have you ever tried it?
Where is it?
It's fucking great.
Well, if they're so great, how come it's not in your pocket right now?
I was watching the football playoffs tonight, and they're talking about the Chantix. Like,
it's not that.
Causes the condition known as third tit and, anal bleeding. I don't know. It's cancer, depression. If you have suicidal thoughts.
Suicidal thoughts, anal bleeding. You want to kill yourself.
Sign me up, man.
Dream seller.
Where do I sign up?
All about anal bleeding. Starting up with an e-cigarette is 4,000 less chemicals than a regular cigarette, which, if that bothers you, it does kill people, whatever it is, but there's nicotine in the e-cigarette. And you get more nicotine if you want in an e-cigarette than a real cigarette. And you can taste like fucking creme brulee or some shit, or roast beef and turkey if you want.
You get a roast beef and turkey flavored e-cigarette.
Yo, Glenn.
And it happens.
So I'm on a flight with Novak the other day, and this dipshit, first of all, he has a trash bag, a black trash bag, filled with all of his dirty-ass clothes. So he gets on the flight, first person he sees is a businessman, and he's holding the red wine, Novak is. He splashes it into the guy's suit, and he's just like, Jesus Christ, I gotta go straight to a meeting from this airplane. Alright, relax. Alright, hope floats. Now just relax. And he's like, just relax, fuck you. And so then they're like, alright, sir, just take your seat. So he has an exit row with his trash bag. Trash bag breaks in the fucking aisle. So, and his pants are low and he doesn't have boxes, so his dick and ass are always hanging out. So his asshole is hanging out while he's picking up all his dirty clothes in the middle of the aisle. They finally sit him down on the exit row, and then they do the little speech. Sir, if you're in the exit row, are you able to take out this thing if the plane happens? Instead of just saying yes, it would have been all over, but no, he can't just say yes. He has to go, lady, if this plane goes down, we're all fucking dead, so what does it matter anyway?
That's a good Philly
accent. Now, so now they back up the whole fucking plane, put it back into the gate, and let out this one person, which is Novak, with his dick and ass hanging out, handcuffed by two security guards, with his trash bag leaking out with dirty clothes.
I got one for you. The very first time we went to Europe, we went to Amsterdam. That was the first country to embrace Ween was Holland, So we go over there and we're in, we've been given the keys to the palace, weed, hash, all this shit. So it comes time to leave, and all of us have this Afghani hash, like 2, 3, 4 grams a piece. And there's no way we're going to throw it away, so we eat it. We decide to get on the plane and eat it, like this is a good idea. So I'm on this KLM flight with me on the, I'm on the aisle, Aaron's in the middle, and there's this normal-looking business guy on the window seat. So we eat this hash, and we get on, everything's going good, and all of a sudden it hits like a fucking 20-ton hammer on this shit. Meanwhile, this fucking guy is drinking like Jack. He's stealing it off the fucking tray when it comes by, stealing off the cart. He's getting drunk, and he gets totally unruly. And he's fucking grabbing me by my shirt. He's like, hey, buddy, rock and roll. You ever meet Bruce? You ever meet, who's the most famous girl you ever fucked? Who's the most famous person you ever met? And I'm freaking out. I'm so fucking stoned. And the guy vomits all over my fucking tray, all over my fucking jeans. I'm sitting there like,
how did you handle that?
Not well.
Did you have a napkin,
totally,
or did you get out of the seat, or what?
We had to get to Kennedy Airport and go through customs like this, and they looked at us.
And you're covered in puke?
Yeah, we're covered in puke, and our eyeballs are pinned all the way, and we're so stoned. The guy was, he just took mercy on us. It's like, get the fuck out of my sight.
Yeah. Sometimes that's the easier way to go. Like, I've been banned from the Charlotte Airport in North Carolina, and I'm like, look, you think that I'm too drunk to get on a flight? Well, if you don't let me on this 20-minute flight, it's from Charlotte to Jacksonville, North Carolina, which is a 20-minute flight. They wouldn't let me just simply get on it and get out of their hair. No. They had to keep me there for 6 hours because they thought I was too drunk to get on the flight. Well, that means that I'm just going to go to the fucking terminal lobby bar and fucking drink more, you dipshits. So what happens next? that. So now I'm even more shit tossed, and they don't know what to do with me. They should have just put me on the flight. I would have been out of their hair. I would have been there. And whenever you say, like, look, I'm getting 10 grand tonight, and if I miss this show, I'm missing that. They don't give a fuck about that. They want you to miss it. They want to hear your drama. They don't care about, you know what I mean? Like, if you tell somebody at the airport, look, listen, ma'am, if I don't make this flight, I'm missing out on 20 grand here, and I have a very big meeting. It's very important. They want to see you miss it. They want to see your drama. They want to see you be, Jesus Christ, I'm not making this fucking flight because fucking... They love that shit. They like to look at your misery, and it makes them happy.
We have Glenn McClellan here. Glenn, you got any good war stories? I have a good Glenn McClellan war story.
Glenn is here. Glenn plays keyboard in Ween.
Yeah.
And
ex-Ween.
Ex-Ween?
Ween is not firing on all cylinders right now, but I have a Glenn story I'm going to tell. He's going to hate this fucking story. We're playing it. What the hell's it called? Third Avenue in Minneapolis? What's that place called? First Avenue. So we're playing there. It's like our 19th fucking time playing there, and I think we're doing two or three nights in a row. The whole band finishes their set, and Glenn and I go upstairs because there's a balcony that surrounds First Ave, which is where they shot Purple Rain, by the way. And we sit down, we get Jameson, we get beers, we're already fucked up. We've played three nights in a row. And there's these two beautiful girls sitting there, and they're dykes. But I pick up right on this really fast, but Glenn is slow on the take up here. So can I tell the story, actually? All right, so I'm sitting there, I'm talking to these two beautiful lesbian girls. They're very clean cut, their hair is really short, and they're nicely dressed and whatever. And Glenn comes up and he's like, hey ladies, how you doing? You know, he's talking, he's warming up to the one girl, and the other girl wraps her arm around her girlfriend and says, you know, sorry, man, this one's taken. And Glenn throws his fucking Jack Daniels in her eye. Fuck you, you fucking whore.
How did that go?
I was fucking laughing so hard.
What did she do, man?
She fucking freaked out. She almost kicked both our asses. It's a big bull dyke with, like, fucking Slayer tattoos on her top of her wrists and shit.
You just chucked the Jack Daniels.
Fuck you, you fucking whore.
Where was this at?
First Avenue, Minneapolis.
In Minneapolis.
God damn it. You guys duped me. I want to hear your worst waking up story somewhere where you didn't know where you were.
Me waking up. Worst ever is... I'm with this guy named Ken Parks, who's the lawyer for MTV, and he hung out with Rolling Stones, all this. He's like 70 years old, and he has a lot of stories and all this, and we never really got along, but this night we decided to get along, and we connected big time, and I'm like, you know what, Ken, I'm going to drink what you drink. What are you drinking? He's like, I drink Johnny Walker Black. I'm like, well, that's what I'm doing. So I do that. I wind up... at 6 a.m., upside down on some church stairs with leaves in my hair, and I'm like, where the fuck am I? And I look around, I see old buildings. I'm like, all right, I'm definitely in Europe, but where and why? I walk more. I see Italian signs. I'm like, I'm in Italy, yeah. So I walk more, I see a moat. I'm like, I'm in Venice, Italy, but why? I had to go to a payphone, call my mom, find out why I'm in Venice, Italy, and where I'm staying at. I get a hotel there. I was so fucked up that I didn't know where I was, why I was there, what I was doing there.
And that's some sad ass shit.
That was good. That was probably the most drunk I've ever been, big time. Yeah.
Last time we were in Australia was probably like 2006 or whatever. I wandered out of this bar. We had two nights off somewhere because we would do like three nights in Sydney, three nights in Melbourne, you know, whatever. I wandered out of this bar and I ended up, there's a guy playing like mandolin on the street. And all I remember was kind of just crashing next to him. And I got up the next day and my wife called me and she said, you know, called me like 60 times, and all I could hear was this mandolin and people going, "Mickey, wake up! Mickey, wake up!" It was our tour manager and everybody, but everybody bailed on me. They just fucking sold me out and threw me under the bus. So to rub it in, like it was like pre-intervention, you know, there's a way you can send it from your cell phone to your email. So I'm on tour and I had to listen to these fucking voicemails of this guy playing mandolin and, "Mickey, wake up! Mickey, wake up!"
Dude, it fucking sucks to, like, wake up upside down on the church stairs and know that you're in Europe and you don't know why. And I found out that very night that Ken, he got so drunk just like me, I wandered off on my own and fell asleep on the church stairs. Well, him...
Before the Euro, dude, you had to fucking deal with all the different money, so you'd have like French francs, Italian fucking schnoidlers, and fucking Czechoslovakian guilders, and Dutch fucking, you know.
So he gets so drunk at this fancy hotel that he tumbles down the stairs. Pisses his pants, and then he has this bloody mouth from falling down the stairs, and everybody says, "Kenny, you okay?" And he goes, "We need more Coke." Then he was so embarrassed the next day that he flew home without even saying goodbye to anyone.
What's your best shit in your pants story?
Shit my pants story.
I mean, I never did that. I was just wondering what yours was.
This was actually recently. We're on a tour bus. We're coming home from New England on a Fuckface Unstoppable tour. And I wake up, Novak sleeping on the tour bus, and I rip a fart in his face. And Chad just starts laughing so bad that, like, it made me want to do even more. Because he's just laughing hysterical for 5 minutes straight over me ripping a fart straight in the face. So the next time, I pull my pants down, and I press my whole ass against his face. And I try to rip the fart, and I'm pressing so hard. And, like, a splash of shit just pours out, and I go... And it just lands on his face and jacket. "Ew, Pam, you fucking shit on me, motherfucker."
It was like in slow fucking motion, man. There was asteroids flying. There was
just guys being
sizes.
Guys, you know, shitting on each other's faces, you know.
And Bam's girlfriend.
And I'm like, "Well, it's my jacket at least."
"Yeah, but you shit in my face, motherfucker." "Pull over, Kevin, pull this RV over. Bam, just shit on me. Damn it, Bam."
It was like I pressed so hard because Chad was laughing so bad about like one little fart. So I'm just like, "Oh, let me try even harder." And it was.
You can still see the asteroids of shit land behind on the fucking curtains.
Asteroids.
Yeah, they're all on the curtains and shades in the RV.
I shot it right on his fucking face.
When I'm not playing music, I'm a fishing boat captain down at the shore. And one day. It means getting up at like 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning. So I get up one morning and I've got to meet these people, and it's like my third day in a row getting up to like 4 in the morning, and I have my shit down to a routine. It's like, you know, I have the timer on the coffee machine, have the coffee, take a shit, and go, you know, start driving. So I can't shit this one morning, so I start driving, and for my drive, I got to go from New Hope all the way down to Trenton, all the way down the river. It's all just interchanges and clover.
What do you mean all the way down the river? You take it from Trenton to the ocean?
I have to go from New Hope, PA, down to Trenton, all along the Delaware River, and then
how long does that
and
take?
Then east. It takes me about 20 minutes to get to Trenton, and then another...
No, but on the boat from Trenton.
No. I ain't going from Trenton on the boat.
Oh, you're on the Delaware River.
I have to drive in my car. So I get to this clover leaf where all the highways interchange, and I haven't taken my morning shit. And I realize, like, I can't hold it anymore. I'm starting cramping up or whatever. But I'm on like, you know, 8 highways interconnecting. There's no shoulder. There's no anything. And I realize I'm going to shit my pants. Like, it's inevitable, you know. So how's this going to go down, you know. So I jump out of my truck. And as I'm jumping out, like, just that one step, makes it just totally fucking explode. Now it's like in my socks and my shoes and shit, and there's no shoulder. It's all just concrete forever and ever and ever. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, how am I gonna fucking do this? So I open up both doors on the path on the driver's side. Like, I'm hiding behind the driver's door and like between the, you know, the driver's side door and the rear, you know, in the rear door. I'm taking everything off, and there's brown fucking apple cider, like, all down my fucking legs. And the tractor trailers are going by, going, now I have no other clothes, and I got to go meet three people to damn fucking Fisher. So I get out. I'm reaching in the back, and I got rags to check oil. I'm trying to wipe myself off, you know. So in the back,
you have to rock the same clothes.
No, in the back I have a pair of like neoprene like waders. So I show up to this charter. It was like, you know, hey, how you guys doing? You gotta excuse me a second. I'm going to this little bathroom.
Boots and those like the.
It's just boots. It's like overalls, but they're made in neoprene. You know, so I'm totally fucking naked, yeah, covered in human shit. So I get to the. So I get to the marina, and these guys are there. They're like, Diener, oh, Ween, man. Hey, can you sign my thing? And I was like, hold on, guys. I'm like, fuck, you know, it was like a water fountain in the marina. And I'm like, fucking rubbing the shit off my fucking back and my legs. Like, hey, you guys ready to fish? It's like, Diener, hey, man, push a little daisies. Like, oh, yeah, cool, man.
Would you ever wipe your ass with a fish? If you had to, like, would you just think, like,
I'll just fucking wipe it with that
fish.
You got it all
wrong. It wouldn't work.
Come on, man. I have dignity.
Is that
man.
Fucked
what are you
up?
Talking about? Yeah, that's fucked up.
It wouldn't even work.
You ever take a shit on a fish, though? Like, you're like, I don't want to shit on
I'll just shit
on that fish.
No, you got it all wrong. You're all mixed up, man. Glenn, you got something to say, obviously. Why don't you tell us? I was there. Come here. Step up. Come on, step up.
Step
here.
Up to the plate.
Step up. I was there for this, so I can confirm this to be true.
This was Reno, Nevada. We played a show, and before we had signing privileges to any restaurant, so of course I choose a sushi bar in Reno, you know, thousands of miles from any ocean, and I get a bad case of sushi and, you know, get on the tour bus at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Well, if you're getting it from Nevada, I can understand why.
Yeah, there you go. So we got to go to Bend, Oregon, and I'm on the tour bus, and there's this big dude from Nashville driving a tour bus, Charlie, about 350 pounds. And I'm in my bunk, and I feel the gurgle, 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 and I'm like, oh, fuck, this isn't going to happen, man. No way. And I go out in the lounge, and everybody was asleep. And I was just, like, laying there with a blanket over me thinking, no way this is going to happen. Man. No way. Finally, it was like, Charlie, man, you got to pull over. And we're out in the middle of California, and there's, like, you know, tumbleweeds blowing around in the street. And Charlie was like, I can't pull over. There's no shoulder. 2 minutes later, I was like, Charlie, you got to stop now. And I just, like, walked out the door, and everything let loose. Mouth, asshole, fucking shit in my pants, puke all over me. And he's standing there looking at me going, partner, what can I do for you? I said, give me a roll of paper towels right now.
Hose.
Oh, my God. And a fish.
Well, I think our time is up, Chad. So we need to end this with one last song. And I think it needs to be Moist Boys. Tweaker. Thank you, Mickey from Ween, for recording and doing the show. New Hope, PA at his place. Cheers, Radio Bam.
Truth Serum. Man, I'm so cold, it's 98 degrees. I think I saw some human heads grow.
That's Radio Bam for this week.
We're done.
Tune in next week for more.
Everybody. You can leave now.
It's Radio Bam.
Radio Bam every Monday, 7 to 4 p.m.
Radio Bam every Monday, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific.
Email me now at Radio Bam.
Why don't you take a picture of your sweet white ass and send it on over to Radio Bam at Sirius-Radio.com.
Call Radio Bam at 877-PORN-BAG.
That's 877-PORN-BAG.
Sweet dreams, Peapod.
Bye, everybody. See you next week.
Faction.
Later.
Every week.